evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, January 21st, 2020 at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. Would all please rise for the invocation by Reverend Dan Miller, pastor of Edgeboro Moravian Church, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you with gratitude for the many blessings that we live with each day, for the love and support found in the relationships we have with our loved ones, for the gifts and talents we use, develop, and offer to others, for the bountiful resources of this earth we use each day, and for life itself. Lord, we pause to thank you for these things. God of wisdom, grant each of us the wisdom we need to live together peacefully in this community. Lead us in ways of truth, justice, and mercy. Inspire us so that we may not only live together, but thrive together in this place. Lord, we give you thanks for our freedoms in this city and country. And with those freedoms come responsibilities that we all have in order to hold this community together. Help us, from mayor to citizen and everyone in between, to carry out these responsibilities faithfully, not just for ourselves, but also for our neighbors. Be with all the leaders in this room and bless their conversations tonight as they continue to discern and act on the many things for the best of this community. We pray all these things in the many names that you are known. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend Miller. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan. Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Present.
Ms. DeGrom.
Present.
Mr. Reynolds.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Mr. Walden.
Present. Mr. Callahan, let me know he wasn't feeling well this evening and he will not be joining us. And prior to consideration of our regular agenda items, City Council will conduct a public hearing to accept public comment concerning a privately proposed zoning map amendment requested by Fitzpatrick, Lenz, and Bubba, requesting an amendment to the city's zoning map by changing the zoning district of 2015 City Line Road from CS Shopping Center to PI, Planned Industrial. The petitioner intends to lease the subject property to a tenant that will engage in manufacturing use, which is generally permitted in the PI zoning district. In connection with the public hearing are the following communications. Communication 6A, the City Planning Commission Zoning Map Amendment, CS to PI. Communication 6B, Lehigh Valley Planning Commission Zoning Map Amendment, CS to PI. Public hearings are conducted as follows. The President of Council will recognize a representative of the petitioner to make a presentation on the zoning request. We'll also recognize representatives of the administration to make a presentation of the City's Planning Commission's recommendations. Members of Council will have the opportunity to make comments and ask questions, and I will recognize the public for comment. The public hearing is called to order. If the clerk would please read communication 6A and 6B.
6A, memorandum dated October 14, 2019 from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, in connection with a private request for a zoning map amendment to rezone a parcel of land located at 2015 City Line Road in the City of Bethlehem from CS Shopping Center to PI, Planned Industrial. At their October 10, 2019 meeting, the City Planning Commission voted unanimously to recommend approval of this requested rezoning. Attached to Ms. Heller's October 14th memo is a separate memorandum from Ms. Heller addressed to the City Planning Commission containing background information on the rezoning request and a statement of support for the request. 6B, a letter from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission in connection with a private request for a zoning map amendment to rezone a parcel of land located at 2015 City Line Road in the City of Bethlehem from CS Shopping Center to PI, Planned Industrial. Pursuant to the Pennsylvania Municipalities Planning Code, the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission Comprehensive Planning Committee reviewed the proposed zoning map amendment and found it consistent with the county comprehensive plan. The Planning Commission also recommended that the city potentially consider rezoning one or more additional parcels in the vicinity from shopping center to planned industrial.
Thank you. I'll recognize a representative of the petitioner to discuss the rezoning request.
Tom Schlegel. I'm the attorney from Fitzpatrick, Glenn Sambuva. We represent the applicant, City Line Associates, LLC, who's the equitable owner of the property in question, 2015 City Line Road. Also with me is Matthias Fenstermacher, who's a principal of the applicant. Can answer really any questions you may have on the request. The information in the memorandum prepared by the city clerk is really everything that we have to say on this subject. Essentially the property is in Lehigh Valley Industrial Park 1, historically had planned industrial zoning dating back to the 60s or 70s. The zoning was thereafter changed to shopping center. I think it was with the goal of capturing some commercial uses off of Shandersville Road. However, the property in question is a couple of properties in from Shandersville Road and is much more consistent with industrial uses in Lehigh Valley Industrial Park 1, and also contains a 53,000 square foot building, which is an appropriate facility for manufacturing or light industrial uses, the type of uses that are generally permitted in the planned industrial zone. That's really the overview of the request. You can welcome any questions from council or any additional information from the administration.
Thank you. I think we'll wait to hear from the administration, and then if we have any questions, we'll follow up with you.
Thank you.
Ms. Heller?
Thank you. We saw the request, honestly, as a pretty straightforward request. We did rezone the property to CS 2004, and at that time, we did speak with each of the property owners that did not front specifically on Shandersville Road to talk about their future intentions and reuse of the parcels. So we did include them at that time, include this parcel at that time. Some of the other parcels have been redeveloped in keeping with CS, but clearly this property has languished. It has an existing industrial-style building on it, and would be challenging, I would think, to adaptively reuse for some retail use. So we supported the rezoning back to PI.
Thank you. And would there be any negative impact on any of the neighboring property owners or adjacent properties?
We do not think so. I believe there's a vacant parcel to the rear and to the east of this parcel, and the other parcels in LVIP 1 are already developed with some type of industrial use.
Thank you, Ms. Heller. Are there any questions or comments from members of council for either Ms. Heller or for the applicant? Mr. Klum?
Thank you, President Waldron. Ms. Heller, real quick, was there any outreach from City Hall to the surrounding property owners or any of the surrounding property owners to the city about including any additional parcels in the rezoning?
We did not. Okay. We did not do any outreach. The request came from a private property owner, and that's really what we reviewed. The property is posted, and so that's public notice in the neighborhood about the requested change.
Understood. Thank you. I just had a quick question for the property owner. What was, I know, how long has this sat vacant, ballpark it?
At least 10 years, I think, something along those lines. And
what was their previous, who was the previous tenant?
It was a manufacturer of fabrics, dyes, from what I understand. I did not own it at that point.
Do you have a potential tenant lined up already?
Yes.
Understood. Thank you. Those are all my questions.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
I just have a quick question. Do you have any idea at this point in time what will be manufactured at the site?
No, I do not.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Reynolds?
I just have a couple questions for Ms. Heller. The original, the zoning, this shopping center zoning, what's included in that CS? Or I should ask, where, do we, is that like what we would consider like what Westgate Mall is? like
Westgate Mall is zoned CS. Uh-huh. Everything else on the frontage of Shanersville Road is. The hotel was created under CS zoning. The Sheets, the strip mall there with several restaurants in it. That development all occurred under CS zoning.
I gotcha. And I guess my only comment would be is that this rezoning, it seems like it makes sense considering both the history of the property and what surrounds it. And also, I think just in general, the conversation we have going forward is about this CS zoning period. Is that I think when you look at this type of zoning around, it both can lead to a lot of vacancies or, and like I said, I don't know if we need more of it. I mean, we have the potential development going on at Mark Tower as far as some commercial uses are there. And just this particular type of CS shopping center zoning, I think when you look even not even the city of Bethlehem, when you look outside of the city of Bethlehem, you look at some of the challenges that surrounding municipalities have with similar type of zoning, I think that if there is a, that this makes sense as far as redeveloping this property and, you know, it seems consistent with what is there and what surrounds it. So thank you, Ms. Heller. Thank you, Mr. Waldron.
Dr. Van Wert?
Ms. Heller, I just had a question about the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission's recommendation that we consider rezoning the parcels because this parcel lies adjacent to two vacant undeveloped parcels that are currently zoned shopping center. And I would think that even though this one has a building on it, the same dynamics that apply to the lack of development of this parcel would probably apply to these as well. And I wonder if it would behoove us to do some outreach to those property owners as well, because otherwise it looks like we just have this kind of a tooth of industrial property with whatever trucks and everything that may follow situated between two CS properties. I'm just wondering if maybe we could do a little bit more of a comprehensive approach.
Well, this parcel is on a corner. It already has an industrial use on it, and we felt that rezoning was appropriate. The parcel that's zoned CS is closer to Shanersville Road. This is not in between parcels. And there are parcels within this CS zoning district that have been redeveloped in compliance with CS zoning that don't front that road. So we did not do outreach, but we did feel that it still is appropriate, frankly, that those properties would be able to benefit from their location along Shanersville.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all.
Are there any other comments or questions from members of council? Seeing none. Thank you, Ms. Heller. I will recognize the public for any comments they would like to make. The zoning map amendment ordinance will be placed on the February 4th council agenda for first reading. Thank you. The public hearing is adjourned. Seeking approval of the minutes for December 3rd and December 17th. Any comments from members of council? Seeing none, the minutes stand approved. Prior to public comment this evening, I'd like to announce that the administration has requested that two items be pulled from tonight's agenda pending further internal discussion. Agenda items 6H, a communication, and 10F, a resolution, will be removed from tonight's agenda. Moving to public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. Is there anyone who previously signed up who would like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening? Mr. Rodriguez?
Oh, there was somebody ahead of me, that's right.
Yeah.
There was.
The clerk's grabbing our sign-up sheet, so we can work on the honor system until then. And in fact, you are first, Ms. Rosa.
Yes, Lisa Rosa, 822 Fernwood. I'm actually asking a question about a building on 3rd Street. The Goodman building, has anything been done with that one?
Yes, there's work going on. I'm not sure of the current state. That's something that the Office of Community Economic Development would have a better handle on.
because I know that building's been horrible for many, many years.
Yes.
And I keep passing by it, and I'm like thinking, is it even working on that thing? My other question is, I want to work with the Block Watches, and I'm mentoring another person because it's in his area, and hopefully I just want to let you know that I'll be jumping around, and I'm going to be asking you guys to sit with me at one point so that I can discuss things with you. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Rodriguez?
Eddie Rodriguez, Main Street in Bethlehem. I wanted to find out, you know, if there's a restaurant, the Westgate restaurant has been shut down for many years already. It has a lower level, stairs leading downward. I'm wondering if that's going to be in that same frame of mind where nobody's attending to that and maybe the taxes have been paid on that over the years. Besides the restaurant, that's the Italian restaurant that's on the corner of Chainersville Road and the Sunoco gas station around that area, there's another restaurant there. What other restaurant can be established in that particular area? I think there's a need for a restaurant. I go to a restaurant every day, sometimes 2 and 3 times a day, you know, so I'm in that particular area. So what could be done about that? The other thing I wanted to make mention was, and I hate to say it, but I had attended a Block Watch meeting, and it didn't turn out right. There was comments made, and I thought that Mr. Lugio, now that he's here, would know something to add more to that. You know, comments should be reserved, as I had spoken to him about the actions of some, and I rephrase that, some police officers. He would know what I was talking about. But not all police officers. Back on it, I don't have, you know, bird seed up in my brain, you know. So I have to watch what I say from time to time. I've learned over the years, you know, what my actions should be and how to maturely overcome certain things. But when I hear somebody that impulsively makes comments, they should have reserved them. And it kind of like put me in a situation, an embarrassing situation, where I had to leave. I felt bad about it because I wanted to use that as a to make my public input and see if I could help, but it did not. And then as I was leaving, there was somebody that came out and said, well, goodbye. That's uncalled for. That's an impulsive verbal comments that should be reserved, you know, for somebody like a nitwit, you know, that really deserves it. I don't. And another watch block meeting that I had many, many years ago on the south side of Bethlehem, verbal conversations were made, like F-U-C-K, right in the midst of the police officer, and it was the Block Watch captain. That should not have happened either. That's why I stay away from that type of situation. I do want to help, like Lisa, and I know she's good at what she does, but when I went to a store at the Sunoco, which you had busted the individuals right across the street, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'll refrain from the address. The lady at the store came up directly to me and told me that she had been notified that I had attended a Block Watch meeting and that comments that I made which shouldn't have been brought to that lady. She's too outspoken. And she did it publicly on 2 different occasions in the store. So I wish my name would stay out of it. I will stay out of the Block Watches. I made up my mind on that. I just came back because I thought I can give my public input, you know, and I respect all of yous because I see a different crowd here, council members, and I know there'll be new officers, you know, being elected in the coming years, shortly. And I know who I'm going to vote for. I wish it was Mr. Sanchez, and I told him so, but apparently not. So I'm also scared about what's going to happen. I saw something in here today, which is something to do with marijuana. I'd like to hear a comment on that tonight. You know, I will stay for hopefully that part of it, unless my leg gives out. Be watchful, folks. There's a lot of drugs in this city. You know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of drugs. And I'm very scared, you know, what might happen to the younger generation as we, as the older generation move on and the newer one, the younger ones come in here. I'm very, very scared about what's going to happen. I know and I suspect, but be careful. And if you can do anything regarding the law, do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Dana Grubb?
Dana Grubb, 2420 Henderson Place. I'm here to bring you your Bethlehem moment tonight concerning the Portuguese heritage and adding fabric to South Bethlehem. The information I'm going to provide is compliments to the South Bethlehem Historical Society, and in particular, the late Armando Souza and Ken Rainier, who authors their newsletter. The Portuguese not only brought pride in a particular flavor to their adopted steel town in Pennsylvania, but also made vast contributions to the nation. Immigrants arriving in South Bethlehem during 1860 to 1880, 1900 to 1920, and 1940 to 1950 did so for economic reasons as regional industry expanded. The Portuguese community began to develop in the early 1900s, attracted by jobs in Bethlehem at the steel mill, the New Jersey Zinc Company in Palmerton, and the coal mines in Ashland and Centralia. In the past, the Portuguese community has been recognized for its soccer teams and folklore groups. There are more than 2,000 Portuguese Americans living in Bethlehem alone, more than 5,000 in the Lehigh Valley. The Portuguese immigrants coming to South Bethlehem stepped off the Lehigh Valley Railroad at Union Station and were met by Portuguese leaders who found them refuge, lodgings, and employment. While many of the immigrants who settled in South Bethlehem came from regions in Portugal, many others came from Brazil, South America, who also spoke the Portuguese language. Their place of worship began in the basement of Holy Infancy Roman Catholic Church on East 4th Street. They eventually heard their own mass on the main floor of the church. To assist Portuguese immigrants and newcomers into the South Bethlehem community, the concept of an association or club originated, an ideal place to play cards, kick a soccer ball, play music, socialize. For without a club, the Portuguese would never have retained their ethnic identity or successfully assimilated into the community. In 1928, a group of dedicated Portuguese men who were proud of their ethnicity and their new community established their first social club on East 3rd Street. It was located on a second floor apartment house across from Bethlehem Steel's main office. They called it Portuguese Recreation. Later, the association moved to East 5th Street and was renamed the Portuguese Sporting Club. Outgrowing that space, the club relocated, this time to the basement of Pasquale Castiello's bank building on East 4th Street, the former Windish Hall. Renamed the Portugal Athletic Club, it was incorporated in 1935, the same year as the Hungarian Catholic Club. By 1941, the Portugal Athletic Club moved into their own building, located at 424 Pier Street. Finally, the club moved to its present location at 337 Broadhead Avenue, when it became the Portuguese American Club, which many people know as the PAC, P-A-C. Today it is the only Portuguese social hall in the Lehigh Valley with a following of 5,000 Portuguese Americans. The club maintains three soccer groups, the PAC soccer team, midgets, juniors, and seniors, one dramatic group, and a folklore group. It also accommodates members of the Portuguese Beneficial Society's Lodge No. 31 and Lodge No. 52 of the Portuguese Continental Union. After several generations, the Portuguese share their ethnicity with the Bethlehem community during Portuguese Heritage Day, celebrated in the second week of June. Famous Portuguese in America. During the American Revolution, no soldier did more to win America's liberty than the first Portuguese patriot, Peter Francisco, 1760 to 1831. At the age of 16, there's some football teams who'd like to have a guy this big playing for him. The 6'6" tall soldier, weighing 260 pounds, which was huge for that era, joined the Continental Troops of the 10th Virginia Regiment. The so-called Virginia Giant was recommended, chosen, and honored by General George Washington to be the bodyguard for the Marquis de Lafayette. The Battle of Brandywine in 1777, Francisco and Lafayette were wounded in the battlefield and sent to the Moravian Hospital in Bethlehem, where they were treated by the Beckel family. George Washington once said that Francisco's prowess directly enabled American victories in two battles, further stating that the war might have been lost without his participation. Others, José Francisco Correa de Seda, who was a scientist, the lawyer John Rodrigo dos Passos, was a novelist, playwright, poet, journalist, painter, and translator. He was considered one of the lost generation writers. His major work was the USA Trilogy. And finally, John Philip Sousa was best remembered for conducting his musical compositions in the late Romantic era. He was particularly known for his American military and patriotic marches. Thank you.
Thank you. Starting on this side of the room, is there anyone who'd like to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? Mr. Gallagher?
Gallagher, 49 West Greenwich. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Extended family, I call you, this meeting. The last meeting was powerful. In fact, it was two meetings, right? We had a range of things going on. We had a range of emotions. A lot of interesting things that could be said about last meeting. I'll pick up one. One of the last people to speak was Peg Church. And she raised the question, does the council get any training in Robert's rules? And that question kind of hung with me because Robert's rules have been a kind of sore spot or hot spot over the past year or so that I've been watching closely at the meetings. President Waldron, you've explained your soft gavel in terms of First Amendment and Robert's rules. There have been some discussions about whether you can address each other by name, whether you can talk directly to each other. I think Councilman Callahan kind of wrested a ruling from Solicitor Spurk about that at a meeting. And the main topic, I think, of people who were kind of gretzy at last meetings was what they would call the breach of decorum at city council meetings, which seems to interfere with the working relationships of council and which seems to be darkening the image of a council to the wider public in the city as these things get reported in the newspaper. So Peg's question does, is there any training for city council people, not just the president, she said, for everybody, any training in Robert's Rules. Robert's Rules is the rules of the game here. And you might expect that there would be some training. That question had the ring of common sense to me. So I actually made a modest proposal on the Gadfly blog today about adding Robert's Rules training to maybe coupling it with the ethics training, the annual ethics training that I think you folks go through. So some things could be talked out and straightened out before the meetings or outside the meetings, and avoid the kind of what sometimes seems like nasty interaction at the meetings. Now, I would think that any new city council member would go out right away and get a copy of Robert's Rules. Gadfly did when I knew that I was going to be coming. But this is not a book that's easy to read. And let me tell you that in my work, I've read some of the most dense and boring things, Puritan sermons from the 17th century on the nature of the Holy Ghost and and things like that. This is not a book that's easy to read. So some sort of a workshop or training where a specialist here says, in effect, these are the five things people having jobs like you need to know. These are the five rules you need to know. These are the five moves you ought to know you're able to make. These are the five moves you don't want to make or against Robert's Rules. So some sort of training in Robert's Rules, the rules of the game. Is a copy of Robert's Rules in the house here tonight? Mr. Spurk is going right forward. I got it.
There's one here.
All right. Good.
We'll call it three.
Way to go.
Four.
All right. The book is here. But it seems to me that everybody could benefit from knowing the rules. You have something you want to get done. What are the rules that'll help you get those done? But the main thing is the talk about the breach of decorum. I think that really has to be talked about. That was clear in so many people who were kind of grunty and nasty and angry last week here. So my modest proposal is you add some sort of training for everybody, not just the president, in the rules of the game. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Anyone else on this side of the room like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening? Moving into the center. Mr. Caratola.
Marty Caratola from 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I'd like to reflect on the grandfathered in of the article of the common sewer trap. Our Christmas city of Bethlehem was named after the city that our Savior Jesus Christ was born. Any elected official who condones this common sewer trap article to remain as it stands is stating that they don't care about the slumlords. They are also saying that they don't care about sanitary and safety conditions in the city for a few victims that could be helped. It will cost a little bit of money to the perpetrators and bring thousands upon millions of dollars into the city and employ more people with jobs that need to be done. All they, some of the elected officials, they really only care about, it's sad to say, getting pay from the city, doing as little work as possible, as long as they get tariffs. When I purchased my home from Northampton County on January 5th of 2010 for fair market value, this problem was conveniently hidden from me. It was neglected to be mentioned to me and not at all placed anywhere on the deed. It was, if not, in a language that I or anyone else could clearly understand and easily pick out. The individuals responsible for the county of Northampton knew that I or no one in their right mind would purchase the property for fair market value if they knew that this problem did exist. For me, to correct this problem would cost me a great deal of stress, time, and money to the tune of at least $60,000. That's at least $10,000 for all six dwellings to each having their own sewage trap to the main sewer of the city. In view of this, if the city don't take control of this matter, myself and others strongly feel that the county owes me at least a rebate of $60,000 for the extra sewage work needed in addition to the interest that I had to pay the Bank of America for a mortgage on the property. If they were truly upfront and honest with me about this condition, and if I was crazy enough to purchase it, I would have been able to pay for it outright because it would have cost me a lot less at a price that I could have easily afforded to pay for. I should also be compensated for the stress that it cost me throughout the year. Since January 5th of 2010, I should also receive at least 50%, if not all of the sewage charge to all of the other five owners paid to the city because they were permitted by the city to use a cast iron pipe that runs through my house to flush out all their contaminated water, urine, feces, and who knows what else out of my trap and into the main sewer of the city. If the city didn't use my sewer trap, the city wouldn't have had them as customers for sewage waste, unless the city would have provided them their own traps. If the city would have asked me back in 2010 if they could use my sewage trap and pay me 50% or all of the sewage money collected from them, it would have been an ethical thing to do. However, they knew that I would have strongly disagreed and turned down the offer to be forced to put up with their mess in my basement and for my cats and I to indulge ingest the fumes from their toxic waste. Since the city took the liberty to do this without ever confronting me about this and the problems that I would have, I should have received all that money plus $50,000 for pain and suffering of the aggravation placed onto me by the city throughout the years. In addition, I should be compensated for the loss that I acquired by not being able to rent a couple rooms with the full use of my house for approximately $400 for each month, occupant a month. Many of the rooms who I would have been able to rent to, as well as everyone who visits me, state that there's a bad smell, like a sewage problem. It's most likely coming from a defective trap that hasn't been servicing the other five houses for approximately 100 years. That most likely needs to be replaced, as well as the cast iron pipe that carries their sewage waste to my trap. Approximately 100 years ago, when the row homes were built, they were built and owned by one owner. Back then it was okay for one common trap. The property owner took care of his or her problem. Today there are different owners for almost every individual row home. That means if something goes down the toilet of any of these connecting houses, it goes through a wide cast iron pipe, through all the other houses, and out the trap of the house on the end. If any of them place something in that would be normally blocking the toilet, it doesn't. It adds to block up the trap on the end house, causing sewage waste of all the connecting houses to flood the basement with water, urine, feces, and other objects of contamination. The person or people on the end house have to literally eat everyone else's mess by ingesting the airbound bacteria and pollutants in their system. Plus, they have to clean it up by themselves to spend their own money to have it professionally done. That's what I'm up against. How many other people have the same problem in our city? How many individuals, people, and animals have gotten sick on this matter? Also, how many have died from this neglect? I also have this old cast iron pipe that serves them and doesn't do me any good at all in the middle of my entrance of my dirt cellar from my concrete cellar. That's an accident ready to happen. That's a safety hazard allowed by the city. One day, it just may cost me more physical issues that I don't need. Also, the pipe was way over 50 years old. One day, it's going to break, and then I'm going to have to take care of that mess, too. The time's right for a change to come. What's right is right. People need to be responsible for their own problems and mess. This is a safety and health problem to me, which is benefiting them. There are other individuals in the same predicament as me. Let's do what's right and amend the article or make a new one that fits the time. The amendment or new article should read, unless houses connected are owned by one party, every house needs their own sewage trap to go into the main trap of the city. If the city would push this article and have the water department place all the individuals on their own lines, the city would make millions of dollars, plus get more jobs for needed work to be done in the city. May I add that all the city officials taking charge of this matter will be stating that they will no longer be the kings or the queens of the slumlords. God bless.
Is there anyone else in the center who'd like to make a comment? Mr. Angelics.
Stephen Angelics, 7th Resent Ridge. Going back to the last council meeting, a number of people, citizens, supported the person to be president of council, but that did not happen, and another person was chosen. Between then and now, I've received and also read on the blog that there are comments being made unofficially that the people here represent majority in this building but did not represent the majority of the citizens, because the majority of citizens of Bethlehem would have supported the person who was chosen. So there's a conflict there. Now, the best way to resolve that conflict would be to do a study, which is unreasonable because it would cost money, and who would pay for it? So take your pick. But a few years back, there was a competition, and a number of people applying in that competition asked the voters to support them. And the citizens who responded to that competition were over 16,000. And they made very clear their choice, who was the favorite choice. Now, the catch is this. Those numbers are certified, because they were certified by the Northampton County Voting Board. And their results are very interesting, because two persons concerned with the presidency in that competition, person named Negron received 4,277 votes. And another person in that competition got 3,705. So the citizen made very clear who was their choice. So we can assume the majority. Now, that then confirms that majority here last council meeting were also majority voice of the public, because that's confirmed by the state election board, which is certified. So the question then becomes this. If members of council chosen by us do not support the will of the majority of the people, then the question then becomes, whose will do they support?
Is there anyone else in the center who'd like to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? Moving on to second comment. This is an opportunity for anyone to speak on an ordinance or resolution that is on the agenda to be voted on this evening. There's no name signed up, so I'll start on the side of the room and rotate around again. Does anyone like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance on tonight's agenda? Ms. Hunter? Ms. Rosa?
I just had a question about the zoning issue.
You can just, again, state your name and address for the record.
Lisa Rosa, 822 Fernwood. I just had a question about that zoning. They want to change it to industrial, and I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem with wondering what they plan to build. And the fact that he didn't know what they plan to build kind of just throws a red flag at me.
Ms. Rosa, I will say we are not voting on that this evening.
Right. I just wanted to let you know.
Sure. Okay. That will be on next council agenda for first reading. So that will be an opportunity that council will discuss it. You can make your comments then.
Okay.
Thank you. So anyone else who'd like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance on tonight's agenda? Very well. We'll move on with our agenda. Is there any old business for members of council? Seeing none, communications 6C.
A memorandum from Edward J. Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Gannett Fleming Valuation and Rate Consultants, LLC, for the preparation of 2020 PNPUC major waste rate case filing documents. The contract runs from the notice to proceed until June 30th, 2020 for tasks 1 through 7 and until March 31st, 2021 for task 8. Each is set forth in the contract request document. Cost is $234,000. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with NTEC Engineering, Inc. for engineering services to prepare an air quality synthetic minor operating permit renewal application for the wastewater treatment plant. The contract runs through July 31st, 2020. The cost is $5,200, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with SC Engineers, Inc. for annual consulting services for the Industrial Pretreatment Program, WUVIS database, and miscellaneous assignments. The contract runs to December 31st, 2020. The cost will not exceed $50,000, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with K.L. Fulford Associates, Inc., for the operations and management of the East Allen Township drinking water well system, including 24/7 emergency callouts. The contract runs to December 31st, 2020. The cost is $36,000, and there are two additional yearly renewal options.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Emerson Process Management Power and Water Solutions, Inc. for licensed software support for the SCADA system at the water treatment plant, water distribution control, and wastewater treatment plant. The contract runs to December 31st, 2020. The cost is $46,096.44, plus potential hourly support costs. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6H.
Has been removed from the agenda.
Thank you. Communication 6I.
A memorandum from Alicia Carner, Director of Community and Economic Development, requesting adoption of three resolutions authorizing the city to act as a conduit for the following three Pennsylvania Redevelopment Assistance Capital Grants. $500,000 grant to ArtsQuest for the ArtsQuest Community Cultural Center project. $750,000 grant for Jefferson Werner LLC for Boyd Theater Redevelopment Project. $750,000 grant for Lehigh Riverport Investors Fund LP for the Riverport Market Project.
Resolutions 10G, 10H, and 10I are on the agenda. Communication 6J.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Coastal Technical Sales, Inc. to remove an existing bulk chemical storage tank at the water filtration plant and install a new tank for zinc orthophosphate. The term of the contract runs 9 months from the notice to proceed. The cost is $70,699.10. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10J is on the agenda. Communication 6K.
A rezoning petition submitted by Penn Technology Consulting on behalf of Creek Investors LLC and Exchange 9 LLC requesting an amendment to the city's zoning map by changing the zoning district to two parcels of land located at or around 2105 Creek Road in the city of Bethlehem. The petitioners request that the parcels be rezoned from RR Rural Residential to RRC Residential Retirement Complex. This rezoning request is related to the proposed development of a 40-unit residential retirement complex.
I'll accept the motion in a second to schedule a public hearing on this proposed zoning map amendment for Tuesday, March 17th.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Mr. Colon.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Reynolds. If the clerk would please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan. Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 6-0. A public hearing has been scheduled for Tuesday, March 17th at 7 p.m. in Town Hall. Communication 6L.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending an amendment to a contract with Pannoni for consulting and engineering services for structural evaluations at City Hall. The term of the contract will be extended until July 1st, 2020. The cost would increase from $5,100 to $25,600. There are no additional renewals anticipated.
Resolution 10K is on the agenda. Communication 6M.
A memorandum from City Council Member J. William Reynolds to Council President Adam Waldron requesting a meeting of the Public Safety Committee to receive an update from the Police Department on the status of the city's marijuana decriminalization policy and whether there are identifiable enforcement patterns and disparities in different regions of the city.
Public Safety Committee meeting is in the process of being scheduled. A date and time of the committee meeting will be announced at the next council meeting. Communication 6N.
A memorandum from Sandra Steidel, Purchasing Director, to which is attached a list of vehicles to be sold at the next online auction to be held within the next 60 days.
Council has no objections to the property listed. The same may be auctioned. If council would like to discuss a specific item, it shall be removed from the list and discussed at the next council meeting. Would any member of council like to have an item removed from the list and discussed at the next council meeting? Seeing not, a memo will be sent to the purchasing director that city council has no objections to auctioning the listed property. Communication 6-0.
A memorandum from Warren Aki, fire chief, requesting council to consider a resolution for the destruction of records from the fire department listed in the attached exhibit. Chief Aki has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act and the records fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
The resolution can be placed on the February 4th agenda. Communication 6P.
A memorandum from Michelle Schiaffi, Director of Human Resources, recommending a contract with St. Luke's University Health Network for drug and alcohol testing. The term of the contract runs to December 31st, 2020. The cost is $7,000 per year, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10L is on the agenda. Communication 6Q.
A memorandum from Amy Burkhart, Deputy Director of Community and Economic Development, recommending a contract with Property Registration Champions LLC, doing business as Pro Champs, for the property registration and property for property registration and property transaction services. There's an initial two-year term with up to 3 one-year extensions. The vendor will retain $100 of each collected registration fee and will remit the balance of $100 to the city.
Resolution 10M is on the agenda. Communication 6R.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with DeHue Engineering for services related to wastewater treatment plant clarifier upgrades. The contract shall run from a period of 12 months from the notice to proceed. The cost is $91,300 and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10N is on the agenda. Communication 6S.
A memorandum from Eric Evans, Business Administrator, related to the proposed transfer of city-owned real estate located at or around the following locations: Mincy Trail Street and East Washington Avenue. Walter Street and East Washington Avenue, Center Street and Illicks Mill on the north side, and Center Street and Illicks Mill on the south side.
I will refer this to the Public Works Committee. Communication 6T.
A memorandum from Eric Evans, business administrator, related to the proposed transfer of city-owned real estate located at or around the following location, intersection of West Broad Street and West Market Streets.
This will also be referred to the Public Works Committee. Communication 6U.
A memorandum from Edmund Healy, first assistant city solicitor, with two proposed zoning ordinance text amendments related to short-term lodging in hotels and bed and breakfast home uses. Also attached to the memorandum is a proposed pending ordinance resolution.
Resolution 10-0 is on the agenda, and I will also accept a motion to second to schedule a public hearing on both proposed zoning text amendments for Tuesday, March 3rd.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Dr. Van Wert, second by Mr. Reynolds. The clerk would please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
It passes 6-0. A public hearing has been scheduled for Tuesday, March 3rd at 7 p.m. in Town Hall. Communication 6V.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William P. Leeson with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Arts Quest, and the agreement covers the following Music Fest events at various city locations: 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024.
Resolution 10P is on the agenda. Reports. I have one council manic appointment, 7A.
I, Adam Waldron, do hereby appoint Olga Negron to membership on the Bethlehem Area Public Library Board. This appointment is effective until January 2023. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. It passes 6-0. I'd also like to add under reports this evening that City Council is undergoing a pilot study, if you will, in trying out tablet devices, which myself and Vice President Colon have in front of us this evening, in an effort to reduce the amount of paper that we consume here, as this is our, you know, bi-weekly agenda, if you will. Tonight's is a rather thick one. If you multiply that out by all the folks up here as well as the administration, that's a pretty fat stack of paper that we're putting out. So in an effort to be a little more environmentally conscious and take advantage of technology that's available to us, we are testing out some tablets to see if that's something that's going to be feasible for replacing these amount of paper that we're producing. So we'll be testing these out tonight and other meetings, and I'll look out to other members of council for feedback as well to hear their thoughts on specific tablets in an effort to be a little bit more conscious to the amount of paper that we're producing. And that is all for my reports. Mr. Mayor?
2 points, thank you, Mr. President. The State of the City speech will be given, well, the Mayor's State of the City speech will be given April 2nd, 7:30 a.m. at Arts Quest. And two, tomorrow there's a public meeting over at Brockle dealing with the temporary closing and the study of Packer Avenue from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock tomorrow. Open to the public. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, can you confirm that's Thursday?
Yeah,
and not tomorrow?
Thursday, correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have no ordinances for final passage, as well as no new ordinances to consider this evening, so we'll move on to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Gannett Fleming Valuation and Rate Consultants, LLC, for the preparation of the 2020 PA-PUC Major Water Rate Case Filing Documents. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10B.
B Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Entech Engineering, Inc. for engineering services to prepare an air quality state-only synthetic minor operating permit renewal application for the wastewater treatment plant. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. McGrone.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wart.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10C.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with SC Engineering, Inc. for 2020 annual consulting services for the Industrial Pretreatment Program, WUVIS database, and miscellaneous assignments. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, will please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10D.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with K.L. Fulford Associates, Inc. for the operation and management of the East Allen Township drinking water well systems, including 24/7 emergency call-out. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D. 6-0, pardon me.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Emerson Process Management Power and Water Solutions, Inc. for licensed software support for the SCADA system at the water treatment plant, water distribution control, and wastewater treatment plant. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Grohn.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10F has been removed from tonight's agenda. Communication 10G.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor, Robert J. Donchez of said municipality, be authorized and directed to execute all application forms necessary to apply for a $500,000 grant, which will be passed through the City of Bethlehem to ArtsQuest for the purpose of their project. Be it further resolved that the mayor and the city controller are authorized to enter into a cooperation agreement with ArtsQuest for the project administration of such project. Be it further resolved that the city of Bethlehem has been assured by ArtsQuest that it will assume the full local share of the project costs, which will be in excess of the $500,000 grant, and also assume responsibility for the project's ongoing operating and maintenance costs. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-8.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor, Robert Donchez, of said municipality, be authorized and directed to execute all applicable forms necessary to apply for the $750,000 grant, which will be passed through the City of Bethlehem to Jefferson Warner, LLC, for the purpose of their project. Be it further resolved that the mayor and the city controller be authorized to enter into a cooperation agreement with Jefferson Warner, LLC, for the project administration. And be it further resolved that the city of Bethlehem has been assured by Jefferson Warner, LLC, that will assume the full local share of the project costs, which will be it if they are in excess of $750,000 grant, and also assume responsibility for the project's ongoing operating and maintenance costs. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Dr. Bammer?
I just have a question for Ms. Carner. For the principals of both of these entities, this applies, my question also applies to 10I. We've gone through some motions that we are making sure that we're not doing anything with entities that currently owe back taxes to the city. I understand that this is a state grant and not really within our purview, but at the same time, do we have any assurances from the principals, not just the LLCs themselves, but the principals of the LLC, that they are not in debt to the city for any back taxes for any other properties that they own?
What we've done is both of the principals historically have set up payment plans. I just requested some information on any of the 2019 back taxes. I don't have that information yet, so I can't tell you with absolute certainty there is no 2019 tax owed, but our cooperation agreements that are executed as a result of this resolution and the application of the Commonwealth will indicate that they must be, we do not have to pass on the reimbursement payments if they're not in compliance with our laws and regulations for the city.
Will City Council be made aware of any of those findings?
You mean of all the taxes that are in the city?
Yeah, I mean if they're a substantial.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
For these developers in general or the city as a whole? Because
No, just this these projects in particular.
All right, yeah. Sounds good.
Thank you very much. That's all I have.
Mr. Reynolds?
Just to follow up on that, a related question. It might be for Mr. Evans. I guess taxes don't technically become delinquent until January 1st, I guess. Is that correct?
Yeah. The list was just references on my desk now. It's an inch thick. Some are small. There's a couple larger ones. But a lot of them are just in the small variety, a couple hundred dollars.
We don't have an estimate of an aggregate number yet, do we?
No, I'd get that to you.
Okay. Absolutely. I would just be curious to go along with the previous question from Dr. Van Wert.
You're talking about overall numbers.
Yeah, I'd be curious, and I understand we go through this every year that where there's, you know, there's this delinquent taxes and stuff like that, but I would just be curious about what that number looks like. And as you said, I'm sure there's a couple that are very small, that are a couple hundred bucks or whatever, and then there's probably some other ones that are much larger.
Yeah, there's a couple larger ones that are a little bit different cases. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can get you the numbers as far as the overall number as well as a percentage.
Mm-hmm. And the process for the, I know we have somebody that collects or tries to go after the delinquent taxes, but I'm guessing that's probably more about like we'll process the letter or we'll send it out and things like that. For the larger ones, is that something that whoever handles our delinquent taxes covers as well? Or is that something where it's like, you know?
They're all typically handled in the same fashion.
Okay. Yeah,
consistency. Yeah, we'll look at them differently and find out, be more inquisitive as to what the solution is or what the problem is or who it is. That's certainly part of the discussion. So, yeah, that's in review. It is, again, it's on my desk now, so we'll have a conversation internally about that list, and then I'll be able to talk to you about it.
Okay.
About that.
Thank you.
The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Gramsci-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10, aye.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor, Robert Donchez, be authorized and directed to execute all application forms necessary to apply for the $750,000 grant, which will be passed through the City of Bethlehem to Lehigh Riverport Investors Fund LP for the purpose of their project. Be it further resolved that the Mayor and the City Controller are authorized to enter into a cooperation agreement with Lehigh Riverport Investors Fund LP for the project administration of such project. Be it further resolved that the City has been assured by Lehigh Riverport Investor Fund LP that it will assume the full local share of the project costs, which may be in excess of $750,000, and also assume responsibility for the project's ongoing operating and maintenance costs. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10J.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials is deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Coastal Technical Sales, Inc. to remove an existing bulk chemical storage tank at the water filtration plant and install a new tank for zinc orthophosphate. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Grohn.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-K.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an amendment to an agreement with Pannoni for consulting and engineering services for structural evaluations at City Hall. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Grohn.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10L.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and of such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with St. Luke's University Health Network for drug and alcohol testing. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10M.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Property Registration Champions, LLC, doing business as ProChamps for property registration and property transaction services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Dr. Bammer?
I'm not sure who I should address, kind of a general question about what, just to give an overview of what we're exactly contracting for. Is this new, or is this a continuation of something that we've done before?
I can answer this question. Council passed an ordinance before I got here, I think around 2012, that enabled a collection of $200 for every foreclosed property. And so we contracted with ProChamps. They've changed names over the years, but it's the same entity who we've only ever contracted with as a city. They'll collect the $200. What they do is they give us the contact name. You know, they help us with the banks primarily, assign a single point of contact so when we have maintenance issues, we know who to pick up the phone and call. We're not chasing around, you know, a property owner that doesn't live there anymore. It very much provides us with the information we need to ensure that these properties, and in most cases, because some of them slip through the cracks, but we have an awareness of who to reach out to when there's a problem with the property.
Thank you very much.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-N.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Dehuay Engineering, Inc. for services related to wastewater treatment plant clarifier upgrades. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan. I'm sorry, Mr. Colon. Mr. Waldron.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Passes 6-0.
All right.
Resolution 10-0.
Now, therefore, be resolved by the authority of the City Council of the City of Bethlehem as follows. Exhibit A attached hereto, a proposed zoning ordinance text amendment related to short-term lodging and hotels is declared as of this date to be a pending ordinance of the City of Bethlehem. Exhibit B attached hereto, a proposed zoning ordinance text amendment related to bed and breakfast home uses is declared as of this date to be a pending ordinance for the City of Bethlehem. The actions of the Director of Planning and Zoning, the City Clerk, and all of those city officials in connection with obtaining comments and recommendations from the City Planning Commission and the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, advertising and conducting public hearings for the purpose of receiving public comment and recommendations, and or take any other actions in the manner required by the municipality's planning code and city ordinances are hereby ratified and or otherwise authorized. The City Council shall consider all comments and recommendations from the City Planning Commission, Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, and members of the public obtained in the manner required by the municipality's planning code prior to formal enactment of the said pending ordinances. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Mr. Reynolds?
Just a question for, I guess it would be maybe for the administration, is the language that the city clerk used as far as the pending ordinance, because I guess we had scheduled a public hearing, Mr. Waldron, correct, for
yes.
These text amendments. So I guess then, just for the benefit of everyone, what is kind of the purpose of the resolution?
That public hearing is on March 3rd, for reference.
In essence, the significance is that new uses that arise from this date forward that would come in play and come under these ordinances would be affected by these ordinances. Pre-existing uses are uses that are within the topics of these ordinances that arose and exist before this date would be treated under the ordinances pre-existing this date.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Leeson. Thank you, President Waldron.
Any other comments on Resolution 10-0? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-P.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024 Music Fest events. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-Q.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 23 East Church Street to convert their existing carport into a garage. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. New business this evening. I have the 2020 to 21 committee assignments and liaisons that I will be announcing this evening. Those have been previously distributed to members of council. Community Development Committee will be chaired by Dr. Van Wert, and Mr. Reynolds and Ms. Cramsey Smith will be on that with Dr. Van Wert. Finance Committee will be chaired by Mr. Reynolds as well as Mr. Colon and Dr. Van Wert. Human Resources and Environment will be chaired by Mr. Callahan and joined by Ms. Negron and Dr. Van Wert. Parks and Recreation Committee will be chaired by Ms. Negron and be joined by Mr. Colon and Mr. Callahan. The Public Safety Committee will be chaired by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Negron will join him. Public Works Committee will be chaired by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Reynolds and Mr. Callahan will round that committee up. The liaisons for the 2020 and 2021 assignments, Ms. Cramsey Smith will be the liaison to the Bethlehem Authority. Mr. Colon will be the liaison to the Bethlehem Housing Authority. Mr. Reynolds will be a liaison to the Environmental Advisory Council. Mr. Callahan will be a liaison to the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Ms. Negron will be a liaison to the Library Board. Dr. Van Wert will be a liaison to the Parking Authority. Mr. Reynolds will be a liaison to the Redevelopment Authority as well as the Blighted Property Review Committee. And I just wanted to make a few other remarks. As I come into my second term here, I wanted to thank Council for their support and continuing with a second term. I take this position seriously and I'm honored to serve as Council President for another 2 years. I generally say I stand by my legacy and the work that I did in the role over the past 2 years and hope to build on that. I will continue to encourage as much public comment as possible, as well as healthy debate among members of council. I will reiterate that I, in my time over the past 2 years, have brought in the live streaming in an effort to get more people engaged, as well as have a visual and audio record that's accessible, as well as I've made attempts to interact a bit more with speakers in a way, no offense to other previous council presidents who are here this evening, and try to answer some questions whenever it is appropriate and try to have a small dialogue without getting into a back and forth, which is potentially a challenging thing to do at times. However, I will continue to try to point people in the right direction or provide answers whenever I can do that to speakers. I haven't been deaf to the criticisms of my style of allowing a very long leash and using a soft gavel, and I'll continue to try to reflect on that in ways to help guide the conversation in a more positive and more productive way. I'm serious about my commitment to listening to my members of council and hearing their feedback on my management of the meetings. And I would say that generally most of the criticisms directed at me are for not managing a specific member of council and not silencing them or gaveling them down. which I think is a fair criticism. However, I've made attempts to try to guide that conversation to be a bit more productive, and those attempts have not been successful. And ultimately, I think if there's a single bad actor that doesn't reflect negatively upon council, I think that reflects upon that individual. And those comments are representative of that certain person, not of the entire council. I will, however, try to continue and maybe a bit more aggressively help try to push that conversation to a productive one. It's my hope that everybody can continue to work together. We have a generally good working relationship among council and the administration, and I hope that we can continue that over the next 2 years. I think the city's in a great shape, and a lot of that has to do with those relationships that members of council can pick up the phone and speak to each other, as well as speak to members of the administration and vice versa. So I hope that we can continue to build on that. And I, again, thank members of council and the public for their support, and I am looking forward to another 2 years as council president. And I am very open to having a dialogue and a conversation about how we can continue to improve things here at city council meetings, as well as in the city as a whole. So that's what I'd like to add to my comments this evening. Are there any other, is there any other new business for members of council? Mr. Colon.
Thank you, President. I just want to touch on the marijuana decriminalization briefly, because it came up during public comment and was on tonight, the communication. I did want to wait. Councilwoman McGrone and Van Wert had spoken to me prior to the memo that came out, also about the newspaper article that came out about it. So it's not something that's gone unnoticed. I had stated to them at that time I wanted to wait until we knew what the committee assignments were going to be. So at the next council meeting, for anyone interested in coming out to hear about the marijuana decriminalization, where that's going with the application and enforcement of the possession ordinance, it'll be likely before a council meeting, a few meetings from now, and I'll be announcing that date at the next council meeting. Thank you.
Is there any other new business from members of the council? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.